Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I am Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, another day, another dollar. What is this today? The 8th?
It's the 8th of April.
Yeah.
Woo. It's becoming a lot more exciting. We have earnings season that officially, quote unquote, began. Now, they're calling it these days unofficially began because in the old days when Alcoa would actually report, they were part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. No longer. So
yeah.
Now it's the unofficial start to earnings season.
Right.
So if you look at Alcoa, actually, they've done pretty well over the last couple months. It went from about 8 to about 12 and change. Now, what's interesting about this, they came out with their earnings, and they were up about 2.5%, about 2% on the day. They added about 1% after hours. They beat earnings, but they reported only $170 million loss. Hmm. And the stock is still rising because they closed a lot of plants. They stopped the smeltering. The smelters closed down smelters. And there's a massive amount of oversupply, which is really interesting. Because you would have thought that with the 16 million run rate on automobiles and all the building that's going on with the aerospace and the orders that Boeing has, which they did do very well in that area, that, you know, that isn't the only thing that's going on. But I guess people just aren't using aluminum foil anymore.
You know, that's funny because I just bought some aluminum foil.
The problem with aluminum foil is, I mean, seriously, it doesn't seal. You can't use it in a microwave.
Right.
On the other hand, you can't use Saran wrap or that new cling wrap stuff in the oven.
Yeah.
We need a...
No, it's for oven use.
We need to make
that's a... great. You put it at the bottom of a pan. You can, you know, do a chicken, roast the chicken. All the goo falls onto the aluminum foil. You grab it, crank it, and throw it in the garbage. You got a clean pan. You don't have to do a lot of, you know, washing of grease.
You know, here's a product that will work. This is something that seriously, if somebody ever invented this, it would be great. The hybrid somehow... of aluminum foil and like a cling wrap, one of those ones that really clings, not, you know, the crappy stuff.
That good stuff.
That could be used in the microwave and in the oven. How great would that be?
Yeah, there are some plastics that can withstand oven temperatures. But I think it maxes out about 450.
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Well, we can work on that someday.
Maybe. When we have time. In our spare time. So what else is going on? Let's say markets are swooning.
I think the little list of the stuff that we should talk about is the IPO softening already.
Yeah, interesting. This is going to be a big week. This is one of the last biggies that we're seeing. About 14 IPOs are ready to price. What do we see? We saw King come out. We saw Coupon.com not too long ago. We saw that Grubhub is now coming out. And there's a few others that have been named out there. And there's some small ones being priced. But generally speaking...
Grubhub?
Yeah.
Grubhub!
Yeah, Grubhub. That's, you know, this is the company that delivers food to you. You order from some takeout place, whatever, and they come and bring it to you, and they add some kind of service charge, et cetera. Maybe charge the restaurants a little bit of money. They're pretty popular in some of the major cities, et cetera. They're coming out with...
I thought they sold tickets.
No, that's StubHub.
Oh!
Yeah, the place that you get those crazy massages is Rubhub. You know?
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so yeah, the market is softening a bit. Some are being pushed back. Some are being taken off the market. Seems that some of the recent IPO action, where especially what we saw on King come out in the middle of the range, usually you don't see that, is quite concerning. And that is a sign of something. I'm not exactly sure what, but maybe a little bit of oversupply in general of the markets. At the same time, I was looking at the M&A, the merger and acquisition numbers, over the last several quarters, and I noticed something really astonishing. That last quarter, the premiums paid compared to the price that the stocks are trading at for the takeovers skyrocketed. I mean, just higher than it's been in years. And I was wondering what that's about. And then I looked at this quarter, and this quarter's M&A, it's kind of a, you know, new time in the calendar for this, but it really wasn't that big of a premium at this point. But I thought it was very interesting that it was almost like a desperate move for some companies to buy others at a very significant price increase.
Huh.
So
I haven't noticed this. That's interesting.
Yep. And as a matter of fact, remember that stock that we did so well on last year, Questcor? Remember that one?
Yeah.
Bought. They were bought out.
I think there's, well, you know, this IPO, or IPO, M&A action is, it's just there.
Yeah, well, it's going
to
be there.
Bored. They're bored. They need to, oh, my company, what am I doing? I got to just buy another company and ruin everything.
Well, here's another reason why markets are moving higher. There's less inventory. You know, with companies buying their stocks back.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Right, so companies buying their stocks back, lots of acquisitions, mergers, and companies going after others, there's less on the market, less on the shelves to buy. Less stock, less, you know, so you have this, let's even say it's the same amount of money. Same amount of money chasing less amount of shares that are available.
Yeah, up it goes.
Yeah, and the fact that people aren't selling. You know, people are saying, oh, well, you know, it all came back. Look at the worst catastrophe we saw in 2008, and things came back. What am I worried about? Look at, you know, they look at the more recent situation. Look at Facebook. It went all the way down, came all, not only came back, but it's way over the top. Look at what happened with Netflix. You know, so
oh, Netflix.
They're using this kind of rationale right now. But we did see that there was some selling. A lot of distribution, very high volume the last several weeks, in particular the last couple of days besides today on the NASDAQ, small caps, and biotechs. Technology shares got absolutely pummeled. Some of the Momo names, you know, the Teslas, the SolarCities, the Facebooks, Twitters, it just got mauled. Biotechs got cremated, and NASDAQ was down probably about 4.5 or 5% over about 3 or 4 sessions over the last week or so, and small caps also. They're trading into or rotating into the high dividend names, the industrials, the more.
Yeah, Microsoft.
Yeah, more. What is the deal with Microsoft? What is the love affair all of a sudden with Microsoft?
Oh, they just like that new guy. Anything but Ballmer.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, ABB.
Yeah, anything but Ballmer. Yeah, it could be. But I was thinking about something. Why are markets, you know, there's no news that's different, really. Janet Yellen was all, you know, all apologetic and basically gave a boost to the market. So all of a sudden we saw this big drop. I'm saying, what's that all about? And I started thinking, crazy idea. Maybe the high frequency traders are pissed off.
Oh, and you think.
No, seriously.
I don't think they have an emotion like that.
Well, maybe somebody just kind of said.
Why would they be actually pissed off?
Well, maybe because
they're being scrutinized, yeah. So like made them mad, you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Here's the thing. You have high-frequency traders. Basically, these are machines that do all sorts of things that supposedly create an unbelievable amount of liquidity for the markets. What if you just take out some of that liquidity? What happens?
Well, that would make things, if you took the liquidity out, It's going to make things move one way or the other.
Yeah, it's going to make it an exacerbated move, right?
Yeah, the move is going to be a little more, it's not going to be smoothed out.
And we know that programs are set to, you know, in the buy mode or sell mode, whatever they may be. I'm just saying that, you know what, maybe there's something out there saying, you know what, you want to play with us? We'll show you what happens if we're not around. Take a couple of days off.
I'm a subscriber to the argument that they're representing the old floor traders that used to be market makers.
Right.
Kind of has that same mellowing effect.
Right. And what's happening is we're hearing the word all over the place. The key word right now is toppy. The market is in topping action, or it's looking toppy.
I read one guy going on about it. It's a double top.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where the double top is from because we're well above.
Well, maybe the head and shoulders.
And
the head, it could be coming your shoulders any minute.
I don't know. There's, you know, we pretty much are only about 2% off of the all-time high in the S&P. Clearly, NASDAQ is down a bit more, and the small caps are down. And like I said, biotechs just got pummeled. But Mark Mobius is saying he's buying the technology at these levels.
It's a buying opportunity.
Yep. Good. But on the other hand, Dennis Gartman is selling. He got spooked.
Oh, it's a selling opportunity.
Yep. Goldman sees a high chance of a 10% market drop.
That means that won't happen.
Yeah, that means buy with
both.
When
have they ever been right about anything?
You know, it's funny because I read a book recently. And in the book, there was a story about all these different traders. Great, great little book. And it was talking about what not to do. You know, concept of what traders, where they fail. The greatest of traders. One of the things not to do is make a public market call. Because you have to stick to it. And you have to then try to backpedal if you're wrong, and you can't get off of it. You know, you can't make a big, you know, what if all of a sudden you say, all right, we see a 10% market drop coming. And the market's maybe come down a little bit or whatever, and then they just run the other direction. Now what do you say? You look like an idiot.
Yeah, or you look like you were trying to push the market in one direction so you could do the opposite, which would be the case with Goldman.
Yeah. Goldman saw that gold was going to be down in the God knows where. It did drop a bit, but didn't do at all what they expected it to do.
Well, I mean, I still remember Goldman from, what, 4 or 5 years ago when they just called oil at 200.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a screaming buy.
That was the moment to sell.
Yeah, it was. No kidding. So what does this mean? Is it maybe the moment to buy? They're going to spook people out? I mean, maybe. Maybe they want stocks lower for an opportunity to buy more.
Yeah, you can nickel and dime them to death by pushing it down a little bit.
Yeah. There's some interesting news today, and it kind of did, in fact, spook the markets a little bit for the time, just a quick time being, but futures and options trading in 31 different markets, ranging from corn to wheat, live cattle, to rainfall. Did you know there's a rainfall futures?
No. Where's that traded?
It's on the CME.
What?
Yeah, I guess you could, you know, bet basically for farmers.
That's not trading. That's betting.
I read this story. I got to look if there is actually. I'm going to just look this up real quick because I'm thinking, you know.
That sounds like an April Fool's joke.
No. They actually hold. Let's see. About rainfall. Yeah, see. Oh, here it is right here. Rainfall futures and options. CME Group. Let's see what the deal is. As the world's leading most,
this is traded on Chicago.
Yeah. I'm trying to look what this would be here. Rainfall futures and options. Here we go. Rainfall futures and options are provided in markets with wide range of products. Okay, rainfall futures and options. They don't really say much about this. Okay, here's the fact card about this. Rainfall. From agriculture to tourism and state local governments, rainfall influences operational decision-making at nearly every level, affecting prices, scheduling, inventory, and even forcing businesses to temporarily close. With the new rainfall futures and options on futures from CME Group, market participants now have a wide array of products covering benchmark rainfall indices and seasonal rainfall totals. Now available in 10 locations across the United States. So you can get it. Let's see here. 10 locations at Dallas, O'Hare. I guess you can buy it at Detroit. You know, you can buy it in these areas. You can buy, now, this is interesting. This is the one problem I have with this. See, the cash traded and traded on the CME Global, these contracts give holders price certainty. Usually with futures, if it goes against you, you could have to deliver. Right?
So,
I don't understand.
Yeah, there's issues here about having to deliver.
Yeah, what's the deal on delivery?
I guess you have to pee a lot. I have no idea.
Let's see here. If there's anything else here. Underlying contract is one CME rainfall index futures contract. It's 0.01. And you got all these places that you could buy them from. And yeah, kind of crazy, huh? It's true. It's available. It's kind of like, I wonder.
That wasn't dated April 1st, was it?
No, it's like, you get the opportunity to profit from the uncertainty of weather. That's kind of crazy.
Oh, this is. You might as well just go to Vegas.
There's got to be like is there an under and over concept? You know, and you know, you can have all sorts of kind of betting things with this.
Yeah.
And no what kidding. If, talk about rigging it. What about if somebody creates some kind of a rainfall machine?
Cloud seeding.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like a winner.
Yep. Okay, now, you know who Sam Zell is?
Yeah.
He's another one. He's a little guy. He's really, I'm talking to Sam Zell. He talks a lot like this.
Yeah, he doesn't he own the Los Angeles Times and the Chicago Tribune.
And he's also a
real estate guy, I think.
Real estate guy, right. And he's coming out with a call today. Stock market is overvalued.
Wow. So what are we supposed to do with this fantastic observation?
Well, I guess
so
maybe.
So what?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, you know, how come a real estate guy, you know, is making this kind of market call, you know? But it is what it is, and how seemingly.
Well, he probably got burned on something, and he's irked.
He was.
On a short.
I was listening to a quick clip of his today. He was on CNBC this morning, and he was talking about how many of these other companies, you know, are doing things the wrong way. He has these apartments. He has the real estate. He has all these great things, and the bottom line is that, you know, they're buying up all this real estate, the residential, on one-offs. You know, he has these big deals, and, you know, when he buys them, You know, he could sell the whole thing, and usually they'll hold on to it for rental income, et cetera. But all these other companies, and many of these companies, have bought all the individual positions. How are they ever going to get rid of them? And what's the future of that? They can't ever do anything with it. All right, on to another subject. What about, I thought this was, I'm not sure if this is fascinating or horrifying, but you know malware. Malware, you know, it takes over your computer and it does things maybe in the background. Sometimes it's really nasty and it does, like, locks you up, and sometimes it doesn't, you don't even know it's there, right?
Yeah, 90% of the time it's used to turn your machine into a bot.
Right. So how about this? There is some new malware out there that is taking over your files and your computer and locking things up. And if you want it back, it's demanding you pay bitcoins.
Yeah, this is not a new thing.
No?
No, this has been going on for almost a year.
Wow. So if it demands bitcoins, is that because bitcoins can't be traced somehow and it's almost like a Swiss account of sorts? Because if you know who you're paying it to, don't you know that you can possibly set the authorities on them?
Well, bitcoins have a way of being tracked, too. I don't know what the... They think that bitcoins are safe. But yeah, no, these guys need to be stopped.
What would you do if this happened to you? Seriously.
I have the very good backups.
Okay, assuming you have a friend that this happened to.
This apparently is the case with the sysop who runs my website and some other stuff. A friend of his apparently got this. It happened to him. And I'm always expecting it to happen to my wife. And he just basically had to rebuild the machine because the guy wasn't going to pay. He said, screw it. Whatever I lost, I lost.
Are they asking for a lot of money?
I think it's $500 or something like that.
Just the principle of the whole thing, you know? Now, you know, we've been obviously talking about Tesla a lot. You remember that conversation we had about how much money Tesla makes from each car is because they sell the...
$35,000.
Right, remember that?
Yeah.
Well, it seems that some of that is going to be going by the wayside.
Ooh, that's not good.
And I guess California is the big one here, and they're going to be dropping down the credits, the environmental credits that are available. And it's going to be fewer for each Model S sold as it's modifying its zero-emission vehicle program, which is interesting because I guess, well, California didn't pay for it. It would be, how would that work? No, the other companies would pay for it. So
I think California has an additional amount of money that Tesla may be getting $200,000 per car for all we know. I think it was something else with California.
So I guess there's going to be some kind of a drop that's going on here. And then we you and I talked about how when other companies, whether it's GM or Ford or whoever it is, comes up with their version of electric cars or maybe specialty hybrids or something or other, they're not going to be required to buy as many of these from Tesla. So if they're making $39,000 per car, how much is a car? $80,000?
Yeah, about $85,000 maybe.
So they're making $35,000.
Although you could have gotten one for $50,000 if you'd bought one early.
Early, yeah. Well, so now you got $40,000 per car on $80,000. That was 50% right there on the profit was attributable to this situation. And they had a bunch of other things.
Say you paid $80,000 and then they get an additional $40,000. So they're getting $120,000 per car. You're getting a subsidized vehicle. It's actually a good deal. It's $80,000, more or less.
But this is not going to be the case. Maybe that's why the stock is starting to sag here, hitting in the 200 range.
Yeah, this is an interesting scam because it's going to be harder to sell that car at $120,000 than $80,000.
Well, or on the other hand, or they're just going to see their profits drop substantially. Right?
I mean, yeah, sure. Well, they're still going to have to price the car to make profits, and if they overprice it, sales are going to plummet.
Right, and then they're also saying...
And I'm also saying there are other cars out there. You know, it's not the only thing in the world you can buy. It's just the coolest car at the moment.
Right. Now, they're also having some trouble in China, it seems. You know, they had this whole thing where they were going to start selling in China, and there was a backlog of orders, and they didn't even announce the price in China.
Yeah, that would sound right.
Yeah.
It's probably the classy car to have in China.
Right. So they were having, and I don't know the details exactly, but there was some issue, some holdback, some issue. Maybe, how about this? Maybe because all of the technology in the car, you know, China's been a little bit gun-shy buying technology from the U.S. because of the NSA whole thing, right? They're thinking maybe there's some kind of chips in there they're going to be possibly reporting back. Who knows? Crazy.
Yeah, I guess, but who, you know, they got their phones on them, and that, those are reporting back anyway, so it's a weird paranoia. Mm. I like NSA hold, though, what you said.
What, the NSA hold?
No, you said the NSA hold thing or something. You had a sentence, but it, what it amounted to was NSA hold.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which I think is a kind of a funny phrase.
Yeah, thank you.
You may have coined it.
You own,
accidentally.
You own it.
Okay, I take it.
Now, you know how the world seems to be living and breathing on the generosity of government expenditures in the form of stimulus. You know, a lot of government, and we see this in technology, they're really cutting back on spending in certain areas, like technology, for one, government contracts as well. We're seeing some cuts there. But it's because, obviously, on the other side, they're spending all this money. Now, a lot of that has to do with central banks, and, you know, you can't go a day without hearing something about stimulus somewhere. And even though the U.S. is backing down on their regular $80 billion of purchases per month, now they're down to, what, $55 billion, and supposedly going to be ending it by the end of the year, well,
which we could take bets on.
Yeah. The question is, well, who else is next? There's not many places that can really do this at this point, and we'll see what happens. Well, now we got one more that's in the pool. Mario Draghi starts floating some trial balloons last week about QE in Europe.
Yeah.
Now, the problem here is that the quantitative easing that went on, or that traditionally would go on, would be something like this. You take money from one pocket, put it to the other, and somehow that devalues your currency like Japan's doing, U.S. is doing. And in the U.S., what we did was, initially, we bought treasuries. Then we expanded it to buy mortgage-backed securities, essentially buying the crap off the books of the banks, taking all that bad stuff and all the mortgages, keeping the rates down, and moving it over to the Fed. And then, therefore, building up the bank's balance sheets and making them better, et cetera, but also affording a lot more lower rates to home buyers. Now, the problem here is that Europe, even though they are this Eurozone, it still has many different countries, with each of them having their own bonds. So how do you then buy the sovereign debt, and how do you make these decisions? Well, you really can't. And there's also some problems with the fact, by the constitution of the EU, there's some limitations on this, that you can't really do this. But still, that doesn't matter, because Draghi has not really had to really go and do anything more than speak to make things move. About a year and a half ago, he did this, and, you know, interest rates dropped, and bonds of Spain and the banks and everything seemed to revive like overnight when he said he was going to do everything in his power, even though he didn't really do anything besides speak it.
Well, he does nothing in his power, perhaps.
Well, but he made things move. His power is his words.
Talk works in many cases.
So they've been talking about how much. Now, crazy as it may sound, the number they came up with was $80 billion a month.
Huh, what a coincidence.
Amazing. And what's also interesting is that these rumors started flying. You know, what is going to happen? What are going to be? And you see markets moving around on that. But the question is going to be, what are they going to buy? They're talking about buying the loans from banks. They're buying the bank, you know, bank positions, which essentially amounts to a semi-recapitalization of the banks and stuffing the banks with all sorts of money, because the banks can actually buy the sovereign credit. The banks are the largest holders right now of the various bonds in all the regions, because the ECB gave them a little shove and said, hey, listen, here's the deal. We really can't fund these and all that, but you know what? You can. So we're going to push money into you guys, and what you're going to do is turn around and buy the bonds of these various countries that are all defunct, like, you know, what happened with Greece, for example. So This is going to be their thing. Their quantitative easing. Now, I don't see how that's going to really do what they wanted to do, which is to stamp out deflation, because the whole idea is to really drop your currency down in value and then hold these bonds and then wait for enough time. And then the bonds, basically, you can devalue it enough to offset it. But that's kind of you going through this conduit through the banks. I don't really get the whole thing. I don't know how this is going to work at all. And you're not seeing the euro drop at all. Where is it now? Still at like 137 and change?
I mean, look,
I'm gonna.
It hasn't done much. I know that.
While you're looking, I'm gonna see the value of my rainfall contracts.
Yeah, the euro's $1.37, $1.38.
Mm-hmm. And it's rising against the dollar today. And before, you know, right, the euro is back to where it was before this whole little discussion of what he, you know, what Draghi said.
Well, it might just be a bunch of talk just to keep people jacked up.
Yeah. Now, you know, we have, you know, I haven't heard a lot about global warming lately. Have you?
Yeah.
You have?
I mean, California, we have all kinds of discussion.
So do we have global warming? Is that, I mean, what was the whole polar vortex thing and all that?
It's over.
But was that part of a, was that because of global warming?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. That's what they say.
Yeah. So if it gets cold, it's because of global warming.
Yeah.
And if it gets warm, it's because of global warming.
Yep.
And if it stays the same and nothing changes, it's because global warming is something involved in that too.
Probably, yeah. But luckily it never stays the same. That's called weather.
Yeah. Right. So global warming, if you're a believer in that, nothing else matters other than the fact that you believe that there's global warming, no matter what the facts
are. It's a faith-based science,
right.
Yes.
Faith-based science. Okay, good. Okay, well, with regards to the weather and all sorts of things here, lots of earthquakes in Oklahoma.
Yeah, apparently we, of course, out here in the West Coast are very earthquake savvy. And I guess a couple hundred years ago, there was a bunch of them in Oklahoma, too. And it wasn't really attributable to anything like fracking or anything like that. It's apparently got some faults there.
And you're not saying weaknesses. You're saying fault lines.
Fault lines.
Right. But it seems that
there's one outside of Missouri, out of St. Louis, which apparently is a real nasty one, which goes off every couple hundred years.
Well, they're blaming this on fracking.
Yeah, I think fracking may be causing it, but they can get real earthquakes there. But these aren't real earthquakes. The fracking ones are just a little collapse of some, you know, the ground underneath you.
Right, creating some kind of a sinkhole. But they had 109 earthquakes as of April 6th.
Yeah, that sounds like fracking.
Right.
There's a place in Nevada that has like three a day because of that.
I mean,
and if you live there, it just drives you nuts.
Right. When's the last earthquake you were in, any level?
I was in a small shaker probably a couple of years ago that was here, and it was like a 4 or something. It wasn't much of a thing. It's just we have different, when depending on where you are, I'm on a big piece of bedrock. And so when there's something happens, it sounds like somebody kicked in the front door. It's more of a noise than it is a shake. Once in a while you get a little shake.
Now
I think the biggest one I was in a 7.
Wow.
In Taiwan.
Oh, how was that?
I was really shaking a lot, and I was in this hotel, and I was thinking, oh, geez, this thing could fall apart. It's Chinese.
Uh-huh.
But it was a Hyatt, and it was built, apparently Taiwan and these guys get enough earthquakes that they built them on rollers. So the room was just moving back and forth about 2.5 feet.
Wow.
For about 5 minutes. It didn't do any damage. It's very gentle, but it was going on for a long time. And I just kind of stayed in bed and slept through it and went back to sleep.
It was kind of like one of those beds you put a quarter in.
Well,
no,
could have been a little more violent.
So you call them shakers. There's also, they call them temblers. You don't say earthquakes. It's a tembler. What other phrases
are there?
We never
use that word. No. Trembler or tembler. No, but nobody says they all call. Out here, I think we mostly call them shakers.
Shakers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there was a few more that followed up. So now, obviously, we'll come back to this whole issue because you know, the center's got to be alarmed about something and cause some kind of their own upheaval. We haven't had any kind of like upheaval besides the GM situation recently, which, by the way, GM, I guess, missed their deadline for some kind of recall. Mm. They can't even get that together.
Nah, poor Mary Barra.
What is the, I got to find, you know, I saw that story today. I want to see what happened here. Let's see. The news on GM. GM, they got a fine. They said in a letter to the GMs on Tuesday that the company still hasn't provided enough answers about its ignition system. For not answering recall questions. You know what's funny about this is they put this woman who, how long has she been in?
A couple weeks.
They put her in front of the Senate.
I watched that.
And they ask her questions about what did you know when this was going on, when you decide, what was it that happened? And I'm thinking, what? She knows nothing.
Why don't they bring the old guy and put him in the front of the Senate?
I don't understand why they were grilling her.
I don't know. She was taking it pretty well.
She was taking it well, and she was answering like she was there as best as she could. But I just thought the whole thing was ridiculous because, oh, how come you can't answer these questions about what happened 15 years ago when you should know everything that's going? This poor thing is, this poor woman is simply trying to get her handle around probably her office at this point.
Yeah, she's probably still picking assistants.
Right, and colors. Now, Samsung Electronics, which is the world's biggest maker of smartphones, you know, they have that Galaxy big thing. It's like a
They took over. It was fun to watch. They, you know, it was one time it was this company, then that kind of Motorola, then Nokia, Ericsson was in the game for a while, and then all of a sudden Samsung takes over everything.
Well, there was one other company in there that Microsoft used. There was they were very popular. HTC.
HTC, yeah, but they were never a leader.
Are they even around anymore?
Yeah, no, they got the new HTC 1 version 2 called the M or the E or something like that.
The HTC.
It's nice unit. I saw it. It's, you know, I have an HTC 1, mm-hmm. and it's just a battery hog, and I never got it to, I don't put it into use. I still use an old Nexus.
Right. Well, it seems that they're selling so many smartphones that they're losing money.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, they're actually not losing money, but they're making a lot less. Stalling demand and lower prices. This is the classic curve where you see that, you know, things get smaller, prices maintain, but then they start rolling over. And even though they are still the biggest maker of smartphones, they posted second straight decline in quarterly profits. Operating profit fell to about $8 billion. Which is about 10% lower than it was, or about 8% lower, maybe about that from about a year earlier. And they missed, they were right about at the level that analysts had predicted. But still, I find it very interesting that, you know, we look at what do you got? You know, you got all these Android phones out there, you got two or three Microsoft people with Microsoft devices, and then the rest is Apple. Right? I mean, is there anything really that's competing?
No, not anymore, not at the moment.
And the question is, you know, this has been a dramatic, shift from where we were. You know, today somebody in my office asked me, I have to send something to somebody, and they need to send it in by paper. They can't do it electronically. And this person that was going to do this was very young. So the question was asked, do I need to explain to them how to actually send a letter?
Probably.
Yeah, and I said, I think so. And I explained that they're going to probably have to explain what postage is.
Yeah, it's very complicated.
Right. But seriously, I mean, you don't use it. I mean, I don't answer the phone in my house when it rings, ever. It's never for me. It's going to be on my cell phone. Every time I do answer the phone in my house, it's somebody asking for money. You know, somebody soliciting or something.
Yeah.
So, those things are going to be gone. I don't know why people still have house phones. Do you?
I do. I have a house phone.
What do you use it for?
I use it for calls. I call out on it. I've got a great system here. I've got the sonic.net operation that is gives me internet connection, the one I'm on right now, plus a free cell phone to call everywhere for free. And it's not a cell phone, but I mean a landline that calls everywhere for free. Part of the deal, no charges for anything out of the ordinary, and it's clearer. It's a much clearer thing than dealing with my cell phone, which is just a crappy connection. 90% of the time, is you're always off a little bit. It's not quick like a landline. It's right on the money. You can actually hear the person on the other end and all the rest of it. I just prefer it.
All right, if you were to move,
I don't have something radiating into my brain.
If you were to move, and you were to build a house. So it's not wired. It's nothing like that, right? Would you put in another landline?
Sure.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
I don't think I would.
Why?
I just don't. I mean, first of all, for faxes, everything comes in through, gets converted to email, so I don't need the fax line anymore. And for regular...
I just don't like the little sweaty little handheld phone that's a cell phone up, you know, against my head all the time. The thing is uncomfortable. It's not square. And I got it, and it's like, you know, you feel it's just an uncomfortable little device.
Right, how about if I get
it's
you
not a... like a phone. A phone has got a, you know, a thing you put against your ear and a thing you can do talking.
But let's pretend somehow somebody builds a cell phone that is the exact replica of a handset.
Yeah, then you'd look like a complete idiot.
I understand. I'm just asking you, would you feel more comfortable then?
No, it's the latency and all the other issues with cell phones that bother me. Mm. It's not a good connection. It's blurry and going both ways. I mean, I loved cell phones when they first came out and they were analog. And you had a phone that was clear as a bell. And then, oh, we're going to go digital. This is going to be better. Which is always never is. It's never better to go digital. And they went digital. And it sounded good for a while. And then they started, multiplexing the signal. So they jammed more and more and more calls into a smaller and smaller space. And these calls suck.
Hmm. You talk about looking ridiculous. So this guy in my office who, he was watching some late night TV show. And he saw this unbelievable thing. He's always looking for the best headset microphone that would work with a cell phone that sounds real. So every once in a while, he says, I'm going to call you. I'm like, okay. And he goes outside.
He's always testing.
Yeah, always testing. Hello, can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. How do I sound? You sound like shit. Sounds terrible. You sound like you're in a toilet bowl. So one time he comes, he says, I can't get the sound the same as if I'm just talking right on the cell phone. I want it to sound just like that. I don't want it to sound like a speakerphone. I don't want it to sound like, the people know that I'm on a headset. I said, okay. So he says, I found something, a late night TV. He says, wait till you see this stuff. So couple days later, stuff comes in, it's shipped to him, and essentially what it is a suction cup that suctions on one side to your cell phone, and it's like a wire headset that you pull over your head, and he's walking around with this cell phone stuck on his ear. Okay, can you see this? Okay, he thinks it's
this is a joke.
This is true. This is true. He goes outside. I talk to him. He says, how do I sound? I said, you sound like you're on your cell phone. I said, that's fine now. It's all good. So meanwhile, a couple of days goes by. He's walking around with this thing and talking to people and stuff. And he's got to take it, he's got to take it off the dial and stick it back on his head and stuff like that. And he's showing me at first it was hard to get on. And now it's really easy. Just can figure it out. And all that. Yeah, 2 days later, the thing just pops right off of the suction cup and like lands on the floor. And he decided not to use it anymore. It was fun though, watching it. We were hysterical. Watching him walk around with this thing. Cigarettes. There's a lot of legal cigarettes that are floating around, it seems. I guess to avoid the various taxes and all that.
So the Indians in Washington State like to sell cigarettes, and they get away with it because it's legal.
Well, they can gamble on Indian property, too. That is probably legal on those. But what's not legal is, assumingly, taking a truckload of cigarettes and driving them somewhere without the appropriate tax and whatever else has to go on the import duty for a state, let's say. And what's happening is that New York State is seemingly now really cracking down on this whole effort to smuggle cigarettes in. Now, what was interesting is that they seized more than $600,000 in tobacco contraband and some cash this year. But what I thought was really weird was that the cigarettes that they would be selling would only be like $4 a pack. I'm thinking, how much are cigarettes a pack anyway? Are they more than $4?
It's like $20 or something.
Oh, come on.
Check it out.
I got to look this up. We should have refused this.
Maybe more than that. It's like ridiculously expensive.
Price of a pack.
I don't know how anyone can afford to smoke at these rates.
Price of a pack of cigarettes. In Kentucky, where the cigarette tax is just 60 cents, a pack cost $4.96, about a third of the cost.
Well, that's Kentucky. It's a tobacco state.
Oh, here's state by state. Let's see. This is less than a year ago. It's about 4 months ago. This is written, but let's see. They're checking each state and they're finding out where it is. So let's see. In New York, God forbid they put this in order. Kentucky is $4.96. The most expensive is New York, $14.50.
Okay, well, it's not 20, but it's getting there.
Wisconsin's $8. So if you want to smoke and you want to be able to live with money, but maybe with cancer, you have Kentucky, North Dakota, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Idaho, right about the $5, and Missouri, $5 range. Louisiana's.
I think when I was a kid, they had cigarette machines, as you recall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a pack was a quarter.
Really?
Maybe a dollar, maybe 50 cents, but whatever it was cheap. And you buy from a machine. And kids would be buying cigarettes from the machine constantly.
So cigarette taxes have gone down dramatically. But have gone up dramatically. And let's see here. Yeah, the excise tax here. I'm just looking at the history if I can find it, which I can't seem to find. I want to find out how much it would cost historically. History of cigarette prices. Here we go. In the 1920s. Let's see, going back to 1920s. Oh, you know what? Let's see. It was 15 and 25 cents in the 20s. Now it's averaging over $6.50. Wow. And was it 20 cigarettes in a pack, right?
So, I don't know.
So a carton of cigarettes, 14 is 10. So that's you're talking about $140 a carton?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember cartons when they were only like $8.
Yeah, well, there you have it.
And people buy this.
Yeah, they're addicted to cigarettes. They can't not buy it.
There's got to be an alternative. Can't they just eat like some gum?
Vape, yeah, my friend.
Yeah. We got the vaping down here. It's all over the place. You know, in odd news, Bob Saget has a new book out.
Yeah, I saw this on your list here.
I just thought it was really weird because I thought that Bob Saget was the right choice for America's Funniest Videos because it was stupid and he was terrible. So the whole thing just rounded out to a stupidity hour.
Yeah, no, it was great. He was good at that show. You know?
He made the stupidest jokes, but they were funny only in the context of the whole thing being stupid.
Yeah, when he does actual stand-up, he's actually a dirty comedian.
But is he good?
No.
I mean...
No, dirty comedians are rarely good.
I mean,
it used to be good in the 60s because, you know, it was a little... They were less dirty, actually, but they... No, I've never seen him. I've seen his act a couple times, and I've never thought he was that funny.
And he's a terrible actor.
I don't know about that. I don't even know he acts.
What do you mean? He was in that show forever.
What show?
Oh, yeah. Everybody that's listening right now knows the show. Bob.
Oh, he was on some TV sitcom.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. He's a guy's got it. There's an example of a guy taking advantage of the system because he had a good agent.
Yeah, here.
And he's obviously amenable. He's probably a great guy to have a beer with, and you probably hire him.
Actually, there's another site called LaughStub. Stubs are getting a little bit overused.
Laugh stub.
Yeah, they're getting a little overused. He's born in Philadelphia in 56. Starting in 87 after a short stint on The Morning Program, whatever that was, he played one of TV's nicest, albeit wimpiest dads on Full House. That was in... And then in 1990, he became the host of America's Funniest Videos, and he became a TV star. He actually did something else, too. He was with John Stamos, which I guess... Wasn't John Stamos... Wasn't he the boyfriend or something on, what was the Fonz on? What show was the Fonz? You know what?
No, I don't think so.
What? What do you mean?
So it was Happy Days.
Happy Days. He wasn't on that?
I don't think so.
I'm not talking about Bob Saget. I'm talking about...
Stamos. Well, now you got me going on this. Celebrity news. John Stamos. I know he was married to what's-her-name that... gorgeous model.
He was. Well, according to this, the handsome, he was the actor. Yeah, it says he was.
Full House.
John Stamos was also on Happy
Days. It was Jesse Katsopoulos. He was in Full House. He was also in Happy Days?
I think so.
Well, let me
He was the boyfriend of, I think, wasn't he Chachi?
He looks a little bit. I don't know. I'm going to find out right now.
He was. He was in General Hospital.
Television. General Hospital. Dreams. You again. Full House. I see nothing about. No.
Really?
No. General Hospital. Dreams. Alice in Wonderland. You again. This is all television. Mickey Mouse Club. 89. Daughter of the Streets. Captive. Hanging with Mr. Cooper. The Disappearance of Christina. Tales from the Crypt. And then now we're 94. Fatal Vow. Larry Sanders Show. He's got nothing. Nothing.
I thought he was Chachi.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, I'm going to look up Chachi Happy Days. I'm not buying it.
Well, you can not buy it all you
there
want.
There he is. I see him right here. He was definitely Chachi. Oh, that was Scott. No, that was Scott Baio.
Aha.
Doesn't he look like him a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, they do look. He looks like Scott Baio. Also, I'm looking at his picture here in the Wikipedia. He also looks like the racer Jeff Gordon. It's interesting.
Oh, really? John Stamos, My Happy Days. Yes, John Stamos has created The Handsome. He started there. Was John Stamos on Happy Days? Yes.
Not sure.
It says yes here. Yes, he was. Yes, The Handsome. He was an actor of the company. His closing. Maybe he was on it or something. You know what I mean?
No, that would be in this list.
Hmm. Well, what list are you looking at? Oh, you're looking at the...
I'm looking at his filmography.
Ah.
From 1982 to the present.
John Stamos owes his career to Happy Days.
No, this is not, can't be true. Who did he play?
I'm looking.
He owes his career to a Full House. He was on that lead role for what, 9 years?
So all these people are making this stuff up, huh?
Well, unless they left it off this, but it doesn't follow if you look at the filmography. Is all his years are accounted for.
Yeah, it says here's the IMDb Happy Days. If you look at the 1974 Happy Days, if you look at the IMDb for Happy Days.
1974?
Let's see. He's not on here now.
How old was he in 1974?
Oh, he's 50 now. It says he's 50.
Well, in 1974, he was 11.
Yeah, okay, so I'm saying he was young.
Yeah.
All right, somebody out there, let me know. Somebody's got to look this up. I can't take it anymore.
Okay. Well, I don't know why you're so preoccupied with these celebrity people.
Oh, I'm
What's going on in there in Florida?
It's
something coming up?
Yeah, no, we're just, yeah.
You're bored.
Yeah. Full House. Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't see it anywhere. I agree. Oh, well. Nope, I can't find it anywhere. Well, it's boring. Markets are boring, I guess, anyway. All right, what else is going on in the world? We have tomorrow, Wednesday coming up, is the Fed Minutes. We've seen the parade of Fed speakers out today talking down, talking up the markets and all that stuff, talking down interest rates, doing what they do. I still don't know what they do other than give speeches, but, you know, what can I say?
It's a great job.
What do you got going on there?
Every Friday night,
what are you playing?
In front of my TV,
I'm not playing anything.
Uncle Jesse.
Yeah, maybe it's me.
Oh, yeah, you've got some website open because you looked up Chachi or something.
Yeah,
now it's playing. It's not coming through my side. But
I hate when that happens. It delays for a little while and you know what's going
on. No, it's because this is the way these websites operate nowadays. This is the beginning of the end.
Yep, exactly. They get you in. They let you sit there for a little while and throw the... you know what I hate the most, though, about these websites? Like I said, I can't even look at FinViz anymore. Go to FinViz. F-I-N-V-I... Fin.
Yeah, yeah, I know FinViz.
Go there and see what happens. First of all, on your iPhone or device, it's awful. But go over to the news. Click the news.
News?
And it should come up. Well, usually it does. You get this video that just starts out of nowhere. Well, it's not happening right now. Well, on my iPhone, it happens.
Oh, it's just an iPhone thing.
I don't know. It's really annoying because you can't. Every no matter where you click, it takes you to the ad.
Huh.
Same thing on Barron's. You know, you can't. They got that big X there, but you can't click it. You just can't. It's impossible. So, anyway, Clinton is thinking about running for president.
Bill Clinton, he can't. He's already been in twice.
Oh, it says she. I thought it said he. She. The Clinton she.
Oh, the Clinton. She's thinking, huh? You know, I would have never guessed that in a million years.
No. Who else is there? And who's going to be coming up for, by the way, who in the world is going to be coming up for the Republican Party?
God knows.
I mean, this is nobody that I can even, I don't know.
There's going to have to be somebody coming up at the last minute. I don't think Christie can pull it off. He's just a big fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to the fat people out there. But he's not presentable. And he seems to, you know, I think his days are over, especially after that bridge incident, which I think he was probably set up.
Yep.
Because it just makes sense. That's what you do. The guy's dangerous. He was going to be a front runner.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it's probably his own party set him up. They don't like him.
Right.
And so who else they got? They got Romney could run again. And I don't know who else the party. I mean, it's going to have to be somebody that we kind of know, but we don't know is going to come up late. I don't know. No idea.
Well, how about we get to the stocks? Now, let me mention something that we are working on. So everybody knows this. What we're going to be doing is because, you know, we think that there's a lot of value here. And, you know, we've been doing this for a long time, really at no charge and just doing what we can to help and have a good time. We like talking to each other. So what we thought we would do is just to maybe do a little monetization and not do anything drastic is, you know, we're going to separate the show a little bit. We're going to have a free side of the show, which is kind of the things we talk about.
Which would end right now.
Right, well, maybe it could be a little bit early, but right about in this area here.
Yeah, probably earlier.
What we do is we'd have the freebie, you know, kind of like that everybody's available to get and all. And then what we would do is when we start talking about the stocks and all that, we're going to kind of and some of the things that may be more pertinent that people may be interested in, you know, picking up for a very small amount of money.
Our thoughts.
Yeah. We're going to actually close it off, and it's going to be by subscription. So just watch for that. It'll be coming in a short while. But as we talk about it, we're talking about the stocks here. Little things that we have to do technology-wise to get this working, because we do have this page that is actively monitoring the valuations, the profit and losses of the stocks we have, and obviously that's going to have to change a little bit too. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. So we'll keep you informed of all of that. In the meantime, we're going to go over to our stocks. Now, this is not a solicitation to buy or an offer to sell. It is not a recommendation. It is nothing more than a little discussion that we're having and a little fun that we have on picking some stocks and seeing how they do. And if you do, in fact, decide that you want to look at any of these, please use care and, of course, professional financial advice in order to do so. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz and Company clients may own the stocks, and that will be duly noted. How do you like that?
Right.
So going from the top to the bottom, you know, we keep on building this list, and the good news is we had that dry spell in February a bit, but then everything's still holding. We still have Finisar is up about 7%. That was in one of the first episodes this year. We talked about that. Dycom Industries up 11%. That's yours. Bud is finally brewing.
It's bubbling away.
It is, isn't it? It's quite foamy. And it's up 4%. Fooey Films, whatever that does. John's pick, 21% up. Hop Hog, I have to look at that. You had a couple of really big days, and I think it was up dramatically, so we may... The problem is you don't have any partial, so it's only 17 cents. So if it was, let's say, 18 and a half, that half cent could mean a lot of percent.
Yeah, it could have kicked me out.
You know? Your American Eagle Outfitters is...
Yeah, I should be kicked
done,
out.
It's done.
This.
It's done now. We have to kind of update this a little bit. So we're going to clean this up right now. That never went up from day one.
No.
That was...
And it's all insiders buying away. I don't know what their problem was.
Yep, exactly.
And obviously, they didn't know what they were doing. Yep. I mean, this does happen, although it's rare.
The insiders they usually have a decent ticker.
If you're inside the company, you have a better handle on things than losing money.
Exactly. Your global brass and copper down 5%. Caterpillar short down 7%. Just keeps on running. Opco Health is still up 22%. Actually, I got to look at the pricing on the Velocity Shares natural gas short that we have there. That is stopped out at a much higher level. You know, we know that was up, what, 20-something percent, so we'll figure that out. El Paso up 2%. Twitter up 25%.
Yeah, that's a short.
That was a short that I picked up a few weeks ago. Actually, in full disclosure, just today, we actually sent an alert because it came right down to the price that we saw as a base. And it could drop and all that, but if it doesn't, we may see a nice little rebound in this. This was 42 was the line.
I don't see how this stock is over 50 cents a share. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Well, it went up to as high as, what, 58, 59. So the point is, if we do see a little bit of a rebound, and if there is even a bounce, this is the point that will happen. And if it doesn't, you know what? You got to take the risk, right? Sometimes you got to take the risk on some of this. There's fundamentals and there's technicals. Right now, we're dealing with the technicals. But we'll see. I'm very surprised that your DaVita Healthcare is not even really positive here because...
It's just minus 0.4. It just has done nothing. It's just almost looks like dead money, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It hasn't been... We have only... I just bought on the 5th of... A month ago. It's only a month old.
Right. Cena is up 17.5% on a short. As a matter of fact, if I recall that correctly, you said that... no, that was something else. You said so fun you would not... get involved in, I think. Wasn't that it, or was it Cena?
It may have been Cena. I don't remember. I do remember it was a couple shows ago that I was dubious about these more recent picks.
Mm-hmm. It's up 18%. It was rolling over. It did roll and did cave in as China kind of came in a bit. And there's a Chinese search engine. There's also the Weibo, which is coming out, which is the Twitter-like microblogging in China. We'll see how long, in fact, that's going to stay. It's kind of been going back and forth on whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, China shut it down a few times. Turkey, you know, shut down Twitter, but then put it back on because there was a comment actually made after it happened that obviously Turkey is not ready to be in the EU because they shut down Twitter.
Yeah, I would agree with that theory.
It was from an EU official, actually. So I think they got a little bit of a sense of that and said, you know, maybe we'd stop acting like jerk-offs and let things happen. Fannie Mae,
this is the big one. Yeah. This is the one you picked. Every once in a while, one of these happens, and this is a good example. This is why we need to monetize this part of the show. You just nailed it for 35% gain in what, 2 weeks?
Well, don't forget, if I may, can I just pat myself on the back for one moment? This is the second time around. Last time we made 22%. I came back, I went up, came back, and I said, time to, see, it says right there, let's ride again from the low. This is the second time.
So that was a winner.
Yep.
And then you shorted Ruth's Hospitality Group.
Yeah, Ruth's Chris.
Which, again, I have no shorts on this list because I just don't, at this point, I don't feel comfortable shorting anything. And
even after the last few weeks?
Yeah, it's just, I still don't think we're going to, I'm not seeing a real, I mean, if it's, you know, when the market went down big on Monday, or was it Friday? It was Monday. Friday and Monday. If it had continued to go down today and then again tomorrow and the next day, I would say, well, now we're in this is where we look for some good shorts, but it didn't. And, you know, and if unless it goes below 16,000, the Dow, I just don't see it as being a market that's amenable to shorting. You really have to nail it.
Yeah, I hear you. What else do we have? Destination X. Oh, SoFun. That was the Chinese. Actually, it's interesting. This is a Chinese firm also, and this does like what would it be?
You know, this spreadsheet estate on my browser doesn't go to the. It doesn't get the. It ends at Solar City.
Really?
And I can't shrink it enough to make it show up on the thing here.
I will work on that. Maybe there's a certain height.
I think you get the height limited or something.
Maybe we'll make it 100%.
That's interesting. I did something there that helped.
Oh.
It does scroll internally, but not by any normal mechanism. Mm.
I will work on that. I'll get the technology group on that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, do that.
Now you have SoFun. So SoFun Holdings actually went down. Very nicely. It was funny because it's $15 here. It was actually about 70. I think it was 72 and did a 5-for-1 split, which is never good. But the problem is once it does a 5-for-1 split, now all of a sudden you have a situation where people who like the stock, let's say, are saying, oh, man, look how cheap it is now. Or people that want to be.
I know. That's the great psychology.
Right. Look how cheap it is now. So what they did is they bid it up 8% today. Now, we actually cut our short yesterday. When it hit the low yesterday on for Trigger Point Research, we sent out to our subscribers. We made 15% plus on it. And that's exactly what happened here, actually. It went down and it came back up. So we actually got about 15% out of this deal. That works nicely. And then last but not least, Destination XL. Not offending the fat people again, but this is the extra large group that there may be something going on with insiders.
Yeah, we're believing there may be a merger coming up.
Mm-hmm. So what other things do you have for
I'll
this week?
I'll stay on that one, too. I don't really have any reason to change that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have anything. There's a couple of things I was looking at. I noticed that Blackstone Real Estate's buying back its shares, mm-hmm. which makes it look like insider trading. But they're spending a lot of money doing this. The stock is down. It's an interesting stock. It was flying from last July. From like 220, it was just kind of up, heading toward 36. Now it's down to 30. And it looks like it's headed down, but and it looks like some support maybe at 27, maybe. It's got a good PE, asset management, financial, real estate. I think they're in the rental game and everything in between. Yeah.
What about this is they've been buying last month, but GCA.
GCA.
Let me see if they're buying or selling here. What are they doing? Inside of per GCA, let's see, we got the director officer buying a bunch on 314. A bunch of it was bought, but that may have been a certain day for some reason. Zion Gas directors are buying small amounts there.
Is GCA Global Cash Holdings?
Yeah, they're a. I believe that they are, if I'm not mistaken, a transaction related type of credit card or payment service.
Mm. 52 week range is 570 to 1042. Global Cash Holdings. They might be look candidate for a buyout.
You also got BJ's Restaurant. There's a bunch of people buying that. Walsh, who is he? He's other. I don't know who he is. What else is big here? This, I'm on Insider Monkey, by the way.
Oh.
Looking at what's going on there. Let's see if there's anything else. Orphanas. I don't know what that is. Orphanas. Bion Environmental Technologies. There's a lot of buying going on there. Large shareholders picking up pieces of that.
Well, the only reason I'm looking at BJ's Restaurants, and one of the directors is buying up a bunch of it. And meanwhile, it's got downgrades from Barclays, downgrades from Stern, AG, reiterated from Barclays and then downgraded. Initiated in Wunderlich, initiated as a hold. What's the point? Stifel, another research company, buy. Oppenheimer, and Oppenheimer, all the, out of the blue, says outperform back in May 13, and they haven't said anything since. I don't know. What's the deal with BJ's Restaurant? What do they do? I don't even know what their restaurants are.
I mean, I guess some kind of a restaurant, but the fact is that maybe they're looking at, maybe somebody's picking them up. I don't know why.
Expanding in Arkansas. This is a southern chain of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Papa John's, is they own them? I don't know.
Yeah, you got, actually, I'm looking at a list right now of the largest top five. When is this written? This is today, I think. April 4th. The largest purchases of insiders here. And on the list is Destination XL.
There we go.
Yeah. And then also we have Wet Seal, which that's pretty amazing.
Which, by the way, since Destination XL is five down from when I picked it, it's probably a good time to.
Maybe.
Too bad I can't pick it again.
Yep. You also got the guy from Staples buying a bunch, but okay, not much. Here's something interesting, though. Here's one of those small little jobbies that you like the Opco.
Yeah.
Retrofin, RTRX. This guy, the CEO, RX. Bought shares of the company on a regular basis over the past year in varying amounts, with the most recent disclosure in April showing a purchase of another 10,008. He's second largest shareholder, 3 million shares, or 12%. He's about $69 million in it.
Retrofin.
Yeah, they're a pharmaceutical company that engaged in the discovery, development, and commercialization of orphan drugs for treating of rare and life-threatening diseases.
It's a gamble.
Yep. And the other one is CEO Staples, and here's another one.
Well, Retrofin really skyrocketed. It was like if back in November of 13,
yeah.
It was $5.
What's it now?
Now it's sitting around. It hit it, from there. It went up, and now it's at 19.
Wow.
It's a tripler.
There's another one, Neo.
Actually, a quadrupler.
Neo is being bought.
A four-bagger.
By a bunch of CEOs. That's actually interesting. Inside of purchases, when was this done? That's back in 2012.
What's the symbol?
NEO. That's another one.
Neo. More Neo. Neo Genomics. Genomics. $3.35. Range 52 weeks between $2 and $4.69. And why is the stock, why isn't it, somebody's buying it inside the company?
Yeah.
Huh. What do they do?
Let's see. They are involved in, operates a network of cancer-focused testing labs. They offer testing services, sort of abnormal chromosomes.
They're out of Fort Myers, Florida, so that puts them into a category in and of themselves.
Yep. What about some of these pot stocks? I mean, they really got obliterated lately, like hemp or I wonder what FOAT.
Oh, yeah, the pot stocks. I think there should be a pot stock. You know, these things have got to be long-term investment, seems to me.
This is
this pot thing is not disappearing from the face of the earth just because the government doesn't like the idea.
There's PHOT, which makes I guess the lighting. All sorts of equipment and expendables growing medical marijuana. They have stealth growth and Photron active in the coast of 5 minutes stealth growth controls. Cannabis.org, authorized social channel for branding products. They also own especially hydroponic stores in California, Colorado, Massachusetts, Maine, and New Hampshire. And there's also MJNA. That's medical marijuana. And it's been just, these stocks have been just killed.
MJMA?
MJNA.
MJNA. Medical Marijuana Inc. Well, you'd think that would be good.
Yep. Hemp stock.
25 cents a share.
Right.
Yeah, brother.
Here's a really small one for you. Hemp. That's 7 cents a share. You can make some money on that. Yeah. You can make some money on that. What else are the marijuana stocks?
I should just put all my real money into these 8 cent stocks.
Yeah.
It was down to a penny.
Well, that's a big move. List of marijuana stocks. Here we go. Let me give you a couple of these here. All right.
Send me that link, too. Send me that list. There's got to be some winners in there, some sleepers. You know, the problem is, you know, you want to do research on these companies, right? So you call the guys up, the CEO of hemp, and the guy answers the phone. Yeah.
Dude.
Hey, what?
I don't know about that.
Who is this?
I'm going to try to pass this through to you, see if this comes in here.
What?
There's a list of the stocks.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that would be the problem.
I'm trying to think which one. Cannabis, CBIS. I know that. That was only 11 cents. There's another one in here somewhere. Medbox is one that's
interesting. Are you sending it to me via Skype?
Yeah.
I don't see nothing.
Really?
No, maybe something. Let me look around here. There's a recent Horowitz.
Let me go in the chat area.
I don't know where this thing goes.
Little chat little button there.
I don't see anything. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so I got nothing. So we can talk about it. Let's talk about the medical, the marijuana stocks in the next show. We're running out
of
time.
Okay, dude. You're on, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're on. I got it.
I'm the CEO.
Yeah, man. We're going to talk about some chill stocks. You know what I'm saying? Talk to you next week, my friend.
All right. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.